without trying to do anything with the body, with the posture, bring attention, awareness to this field of experience we call the body. How is it in this moment? Again, not judging it in terms of how we prefer it to be, but what's here, right now, in this moment? The physical sensations of our field of experience. When we bring attention to the body and the mind in this way, if we're familiar with meditation practice, then it's very ordinary, very natural for us to have the attitude, oh, I'm really scattered, I need to focus, my mind is all over the place, or I'm really sleepy, I need to wake up. Or bringing attention into the body, we might notice, oh, really tense, stressed. My shoulders are like they've got a steel bar across them. Or that we might feel, oh, my body's really slouching, slumped over. I should sit up straight, straighten up, sit like a Buddha image. So these are very natural, familiar kinds of thoughts we can easily have. But if we notice how the mind is languaging those comments, those intentions, it's, you know, I should, I have, I ought to, I want to get, I shouldn't be, I must. And notice all of that I-making and mine-making. In Pali this is called ahankara, mamankara. I-making and mine-making. So rather than basing our practice, the efforts in and direction in meditation on these I-self-based habits, I-making and mind-making, we can trust in awareness instead. Bringing attention into the body. Notice the nature of your spine, whether you're on a cushion or a chair or a stool. Just bring attention to the feelings in your back, your spine. Without trying to do anything, bring awareness to what is here. So if there's a feeling that the body is slouched, the spine is bent over, the body slumped a bit, rather than following that thought, you know, I should sit up straight, I'm really slouching, let there be awareness of that field of sensation and let the awareness have its own effect. I like to say this is a self-adjusting universe. And the quality of awareness is the transformative agent, the balancing agent. So if you bring attention to the spine, feel, know the sensations that are there, and allow the body to make its own adjustments without you doing anything. you, the operator, the me who's the doer. Leave that aside and just let awareness have its effect. It takes a bit of practice to get used to this, but notice how if there's just an awareness of the posture, if the body is slouching, it'll straighten on its own. Or if it's tense and rigid, feeling that, knowing that, then without me trying to relax, the relaxation happens, guided by that quality of attunement. Mindfulness and wisdom itself. So when we talk about trusting in awareness, it's this kind of shift of attitude. Rather than me doing my practice, establishing my posture, or me concentrating on this object, so I will be more focused, establishing the heart, the citta, in mindfulness and wisdom, those adjustments happen on their own. When awareness is fully brought to this field of experience, then the result of that is a quality of integration. It doesn't need to be any sense of I or me or mine involved at all. That quality of balance, centeredness, integration, that can be known directly, non-conceptually. Free of any thought of I and me and mine. Just like balancing on a tightrope is not a conceptual activity. The quality of balance is present. It's not an idea. It's a felt experience, a felt sense. At the beginning of a retreat, it's very natural for us all to be experiencing the resonances, the reverberations of the days that have led up to gathering here, all the appointments we had to meet, the conversations we had to have to say goodbye to everyone, to make arrangements to get away, to travel. So, it's natural to have a bit of reverberation, echoes of the events of the days leading up to this time. Also the effects of coming to the end of a working week, a busy week, and a lot of silence, simplicity, solitude, then mind can easily just switch off. Oh, silence at last. Nap time. These are very natural, ordinary reactions. So at the beginning of a retreat, we should expect a great deal of distraction towards dullness and sleepiness, towards busyness and activity. This is ordinary, normal. So even though we might get a feeling for how that quality of self-adjusting in our system. If we are awake, alert, attentive, the system balances itself, the body, the mind. It's natural, particularly at the start of a retreat, for that balance to be very precarious. We lose the balance very easily, drifting to dullness or to busyness. activity. A way to sustain that or cultivate that, help that to be maintained, we take a simple meditation object. For walking meditation, then we use the rhythm of the feet as they meet the ground as we walk along. The most accessible meditation object for sitting practice is our own natural breathing, the ordinary, unworked, unfiltered rhythm of our own breathing. Not trying to breathe in any kind of special or systematic way, just letting the body breathe according to its own rhythm. If we take a simple object, it works as a reference point. So as the mind drifts into dullness or agitation, we can notice. It's like the rumble strip at the edge of a road on the freeway. If you're dozing off at the wheel and your car drifts to the verge, the rumble strip makes the wheels vibrate, you wake up. Or the white lines tell us, this is your patch. Stay between these white lines and all will be good. You'll get where you want to go. So we take a meditation object to be this kind of simple, natural, practical guide. Or feeling the presence of the body, the weight of your body on the chair or the cushion, the mat, feeling of the clothes on your skin, the temperature of the room, sensations of the body in your face, your shoulders, your chest, your belly, your legs. Feeling the presence of the whole body. Feeling that, knowing that. And let the attention settle at that cluster of feelings of the body, of our own natural breathing, that constellation of sensations, the in-breath and the out-breath. Let that be the center of attention. Again, not based on the idea of I need to concentrate on my breath, I'm now doing anapanasati as a thing that I am doing, but rather just letting the attention, inviting the attention to center around the feelings of the breath. Let that be the focus, center of attention. And then when the mind wanders, if there's a drifting into dullness and sleepiness, or into busyness and agitation, as soon as that's noticed, like if you've drifted across the white line and you're being vibrated by the rumble strip, that's the sign to wake up. And rather than, oh, I've lost my concentration, I've got distracted again, I was fast asleep, I should wake up. Let that noticing of distraction have its own effect. Letting mindfulness and wisdom have its own effect. See how the system adjusts itself. The attention comes back to the center. Comes back to the rhythm of the breath. As I was saying yesterday evening, having a ground of loving kindness, of metta, of radical acceptance as the basic attitude, then, as the mind is worked with in this way, We're not starting up a fight against sleepiness or distraction, but rather working with those habits, understanding them, knowing them. Not starting a fight against them, but through understanding how they work, knowing them, letting that knowing, that awareness, have its effect. It's like training a young child to ride a bicycle or draw their letters. You expect the child to lose their balance or to draw things in a wonky, distorted way. But you work with patience, kindness, forgiveness, rather than aggression and demand. So the practice is based upon mindfulness and wisdom, it's the same radical quality of kindness, collaboration, working with the body, with the mind, not against it. So the wholesome qualities, beneficial qualities are developed, but that's as a result of the presence of mindfulness and wisdom, a kindly, compassionate, collaborative attitude, not a contentious, forceful, demanding one. Well, whenever the attention gets lost, distracted, feel that, know that. As the attention comes back to the breath, comes back to the center, notice how that feels. When things are imbalanced and the mind is distracted, notice that, feel that, the distortion or tense quality of that. Let the awareness have its effect, then the letting go happens on its own. Balance is restored. Notice how this feels. The heart attuned to the present reality. Feeling the body breathing. Nothing else to do. Nowhere else to go. Just to be with this present reality, attuned to how it is.
we change the posture now. Can you hear me? Well, yeah. We change the posture, basically from walking to sitting to walking. So we have four postures. We do meditation in that sitting, walking, standing and lying down. So the walking meditation, it's a question of choosing a path, 25 to 35 paces long, and walking from one end to another. That's all to it. Nothing complicated. So, why do we change the walk posture? Because we can't sit in one place for too long. Being born into a body, one has to change the posture constantly to alleviate the pain. That's the nature of the dukkha these bodies have. So we simply change the posture, choose a path, and walk up and down. I can do a demonstration if that's needed. Anybody needs a demonstration? No? Okay, good. So it's just a question of finding a path. Don't cross each other's walking paths. That won't be very friendly. So stand on one end, bring the attention to the body, body standing. Check the mood of the body and bring the attention inwards, standing. So we don't look around, so that the other senses, we try to keep the ear door and the eye door closed and bring the attention inwards. So walk on a normal pace to the end of the path you have chosen. Go to the end of the path. Turn around. Bring the attention to the body standing. And walk back to the point you started. So, it's just a question of walking to and fro on the path chosen. Extremely boring. Nothing exciting. And that's the whole point of the exercise. See what the mind throws up. I'm sure it will say it can do better, something better than this. I'm sure there are other better things to do than walking up and down on a chosen path. But just check what's happening with the mind. How many thoughts can arise to stop oneself doing this walking meditation? And experience the boredom. And hopefully you'll return here after, I'm not sure, 45 minutes, whatever the time specified for the walking meditation.